is Extensibility. I'm Rob Howard. I'm joined by Rolando Jimenez, a program manager from the Office Extensibility team. Andrew Salamatov, a program manager from the Outlook Extensibility team. And Dan Kershaw, a program manager from Azure Active Directory. We're going to talk about all things Office Extensibility related. We had a bunch of news at Connect this week on kind of two sides. We have a bunch of new APIs, new service APIs for availability through the Microsoft Graph, which was kind of the big news. A bunch of improvements to the Outlook APIs, OneNote APIs, the Planner APIs available through there. And also on the add-in side, places to go and extend the Office client experiences, Word, Excel, and PowerPoint with your own custom applications. New ways to do that, new user experiences for it, new APIs there. So a bunch of really cool stuff for Office this week as part of the Connect announcements. You guys want to do a quick round, and we'll talk through maybe what some of your favorite experience, what some of your favorite announcements were, and you can give a few details on there. Dan is from the Azure Active Directory team, and he worked really closely with the Office Extensibility team to deliver all the new goodness with the Microsoft Graph, the big news this week. Dan, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, thanks very much, Rob. Yeah, I'm super excited that we made Microsoft Graph generally available to developers. I think it's a really exciting development, making development much simpler and easier for our developer community. I just go to one unified endpoint. I can go use one access token to access that endpoint, and there's a whole bunch of rich data sitting behind there from Office 365 and Azure Active Directory. And it also gives developers an opportunity to build, use the rich navigations in there to build some really rich experiences into their applications. And the thing that was exciting for me was watching the demo yesterday that Scott Hanselman did, where he kind of connected IoT and the Microsoft Graph together to see the kind of messages that he's receiving and the calendar events he's getting, and tie that into the tracking of his stress. So you should see that demo. It's an amazing demo, and it's got a great punchline at the end. So I recommend everyone go check that out. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love that demo. I thought, the Microsoft Graph is huge news. I thought it's a great demonstration, in particular in that demo, to talk about how the Microsoft Graph is unifying all the experiences across
That's
Microsoft
right.
and all the assets that we have for developers to go build service-enabled applications with. And it's a real commitment to making all the data that we have in Office 365 and in Microsoft and Azure Active Directory open to developers who want to build on whatever platform they're on. So it's really
cool. Absolutely.
Andrew's worked on Outlook add-ins for many years and done a bunch of work there. There's a bunch of new announcements here with Outlook add-ins and Outlook service APIs this week. Anything you want to call out there?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I just want to say, what Dan was talking about is absolutely fantastic and super, super interesting with the Microsoft Graph. It's awesome to be here. But as you mentioned, I worked on Outlook for a very long time, Microsoft, and so that's close and dear to my heart. And for me, I'd say that there were a couple announcements that really stood out. The first one is about the integrated store in Outlook itself. And the reason why the integrated store is so cool is because now users can click right on the button, on the store button that's right there in the ribbon in Outlook, and have a very integrated experience. They're not chilled out to the web anymore to go get the add-in, but it's right there. And with one click of a button, once you've found the add-in that you want, you just click it and you click on, and boom, and you got the add-in. So you don't have to wait anymore. It's not like a multi-click experience or anything, and you get the add-in. There's a lot of value for users because they can get the add-ins so simple, but also for developers because their add-ins become very discoverable and very easy to find. So that's definitely one. And we announced that this feature and that it's coming soon. So if you're looking for it right now, it's not quite there yet, but it's coming very soon. But the thing that I found to be the most exciting about our announcements is actually the group connectors. And the reason why I think group connectors are so cool is because this is a brand new feature which we haven't had before. It's not an iteration on something existing. It's something brand new. And so group connectors, for those who haven't heard the announcement yet, group connectors are actually picture that we work in a group together and we collaborate on a project. And so we have an Office 365 group and we have messages posted to it and we have our group calendar and group files set up. But in order to really be productive, we also use Trello. Potentially, we might use Trello to track our project and to track tasks. What group connectors enable you to do is the user, like you and I, we can go into our group and set up the Trello connector. And now Trello is going to be posting messages directly into our group. So I can know immediately when Rolando or Dan or you update one of the tasks or move something to another board or anything else like that. And this isn't just a UI feature for users. This is actually a developer platform. The developers can go and create their own connectors to post data into groups. So I think that that's absolutely exciting.
Yeah, the group connector stuff is really cool. We, as we're shipping the Office 365 APIs and the Microsoft Graph, we've got a bunch of tags up on Stack Overflow. We had some of the groups that were working on developing that product actually use the Stack Overflow group connector so that whenever any new questions came into Stack Overflow with those tags on them, they got notified. We could jump on there real quick, try and get the questions answered as quick as possible. And there's a bunch of built-in ones out there. And then, like you said, there's a great way for developers to build their own that they can integrate their own content in Office 365 groups. So very cool. Rolando worked on Outlook add-ins for, or sorry, Office add-ins in Word, Excel, and PowerPoint for many years. Also Outlook add-ins.
Yes.
But there's a bunch of new cool announcements with Office add-ins. Anything you want to call out there?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really hard to pick just one favorite from all the exciting announcements this week. So I'm going to go with a combo of three. I really have these three favorites. The first one is Office UI Fabric. It's this new framework that allows you to really create add-ins and web applications that look really good inside Office or next to Office. It includes all the fonts and all the icons that we use for Office products, so you can really create products that tie really well from a UI perspective with that.
Yeah.
Next to that, we also announced the support for adding commands, which is this ability for add-ins to integrate directly into the ribbon and into the surface where we put the out-of-the-box commands for Office. And these two features together go really well because now you have an add-in that can be one click away from the user, really discoverable, really productive, and looks great inside Office. And then the last one is we're also announcing a new wave of APIs, rich APIs for Word and Excel, that really allow you to create great integrations, really rich functionality. And when you put these three things together, you really have like a killer combo to create add-ins that boost the productivity of your users. So those three are my like super favorite. Yeah.
Awesome. Packing in there with three of them. I mean, you know, I love Office UI Fabric. If you haven't checked it out yet, you know, Office UI Fabric is a great way to build extensions to Office that really feel like they're part of Office. They bring in the style of the Office applications. When you get them in the app commands, it looks like you're really extending the native functionality of Office, even though you're building it on this multi-platform capability where you can use HTML and JavaScript extend both the web add-ins and the iPad and the Windows versions of Office, so really get one place to go and build all of that. It's really cool, really awesome.
Absolutely.
Very cool to see all this coming together. So we're actually going to switch over and we're going to do a few demos, actually see some of the stuff you guys have been talking about and some of the things people have seen on the blog post live. Before we do that, and while we're getting set up for those demos, we're going to go to a video from one of our partners who's already building on top of the Graph, integrating with a bunch of services that Microsoft provides, and also building add-ins inside of Outlook and other Office applications. So let's switch to the video and let's head over and do some demos.
Smartsheet's a collaborative work management platform that allows you to manage any aspect of your work.
We have millions of users in more than 70,000 companies, right from boutique stores all the way to the Fortune 500. Some of the largest tech companies in the world use Smartsheet to launch new products and drive innovation with and for their customers. Populous, the company behind the Super Bowl and NCAA championships, uses Smartsheet to manage vendors and venues to produce world-class sporting events.
You can share your project plans, your project sheets, so you can collaborate with anyone on your work. You can attach files, you can create discussions, and set up automated alerts for any tasks that are coming due.
You can increase accountability and transparency across your organization.
What makes Smartsheet great for business is the fact that it's flexible and extensible, allowing us to integrate with leading cloud providers such as Microsoft.
All kinds of work comes in through email, and so now you can get it into Smartsheet and make it actionable much quicker.
I do software product management, so if someone gives me an update on a project that I'm working on and I'm tracking that in Smartsheet, someone might email it to me, and so rather than having to go and open my Smartsheet, I can just save that email right into my sheet directly from the email and move on to my next task. It saves me a bunch of time.
Microsoft Graph is about drastically simplifying developer experience.
Makes it a whole lot easier to look in one place for documentation have one endpoint that I need to call, one set of authorization that I need to get, and I'm able to then access various resources for the user of my application that I'm developing.
And allowed us to set ourselves up for all the future integrations we want to do with Microsoft products.
If you use a bunch of different Microsoft products and you use Smartsheet, all of them work better together. So it's good for our customers, it's good for Smartsheet, and it's good for Microsoft as well.
So I guess we just saw how Smartsheet integrated with Microsoft Graph to pull messages into the Smartsheet application. And what I'm going to do here, Rob, is I'm going to show you a little bit more about the Microsoft Graph API surface and drill in a little deeper there. So the best place to start out is to go to graph.microsoft.com. And this is our landing page that developers can go to find out everything they need to know about Microsoft Graph, to develop their applications, to find documentation. So
not only is the API on graph.microsoft.com, but all the docs and everything on graph.microsoft.com.
Exactly. All the docs are right there. And what's more, as you can see here, on the first overview page of Microsoft Graph, everything is on GitHub. So it's all open source. So we are looking for the community to come and contribute to our documentation, which is it's kind of new for us, at least for this API in particular. So here you can find out all the information about documentation. You can get started quickly. And in fact, in the get started, there's a way to go and sign up and actually get your application downloaded to your machine. And it's all pre-prepared to run straight away on a variety of different platforms and languages. And then we have app registration, and we have a series of samples and SDKs as well. But what I'm going to go and focus on here is something called Graph Explorer. So Graph Explorer is an web application that allows me to make REST API calls to the Microsoft Graph and see the responses coming back from my queries. So I'm going to click here to call into Graph Explorer. And this is absolutely a tool all developers should use to just go and explore the API and understand what's going on. So in here, you can see I'm already signed in as our demo user, Sarah. And if I want to look at Sarah's information, I can see I get a response back with Sarah's properties, her email address, her mobile phone, her display name. But I can go and get more information as well. So here I'm getting her display name and her skills based on this query parameter. And in fact, at this point, the Microsoft Graph is actually getting information from Azure Active Directory and also the skills from SharePoint and aggregating those results into one single response back to the caller. So this greatly simplifies the operation. Beforehand, you would have, as a developer, you would have had to have acquired multiple tokens and called these separate APIs in order to get this information back. Now it's all available through this one unified endpoint.
Yeah, I think this is a really cool demonstration of how we're taking all the different service APIs that we have in Microsoft and bringing them to a developer in the most seamless possible way to give them a full picture of the user from all those different kind of previous silos of data.
That's right, absolutely. And so that's a great segue into, we've exposed some really powerful navigations now off of the signed in user from the me construct. So I can actually go to the user's messages and see their mail. So here I see Sarah's inbox, and I can see her mail, but I could also see her contacts. I could see her calendar events, and I can actually go to Sarah's OneDrive as well and get back her folders and the files in those and actually go and explore those folders. So I'm going to actually look. I'm wondering what's going on with the sales file, and you know what? I want to see who last modified that document, because it it wasn't Sarah. So let's see who last modified that. It looks like Dennis was the last one to modify it. I'm not happy about the changes that Dennis made really on that document. So I'm going to take it up with his manager. So I'm going to go and look and see who his manager is. And here I can see his manager. So what I'm showing you here is some really rich navigations between OneDrive and then back to Azure Active Directory to go and look up that organizational hierarchy between Dennis and his manager. And I can seamlessly navigate between these different entities in different silos.
Yeah. And you as a developer don't have to know where any of that is. You don't even have to worry about the fact that some's in OneDrive, some's in Azure Active Directory.
Absolutely. All this is now, it's just, you just come to graph.microsoft.com, that single endpoint for you, and you have access to all this rich information through the various entities that we expose. So we also, the Microsoft Graph API also provides access to the Office 365 groups that Andrew described earlier, and access to those groups and the content within those groups. So let's take a look at that as well. So I can go find all the groups that Sarah is a member of, and in this case, the groups, what we call in the API, the unified groups, which is the same as the Office 365 groups that Sarah is a member of. And here I see she's a member of this planner testing group. I can click this link here to navigate straight to that group and the information about that group. But now I can actually look at the content within that group. So I could look at, well, who are all the other people that are in that group that Sarah's in? Oops, try again, there we go. I can look at all the members of that group, and I can actually look at the content like conversations. I can look at the files. I can look at the calendar events that are set up for that group. So it gives me a really rich, powerful way to access that information that is part of these collaborative experiences in Office 365 groups.
Yeah, I think Office 365 groups are the perfect demonstration of why the Microsoft Graph is so cool, because if you think about the groups, you've got conversations in Outlook, you've got files in OneDrive, you've got the group membership in Azure Active Directory, and if you really as a developer had to know where everything was and how to navigate between them and call those different APIs, it would be a mess.
It would be a real challenge, yeah, but this really simplifies everything here.
And it's one of those places where we're even using it for our own experiences. There are a bunch of experiences that we're building internally at Microsoft that are based on the Microsoft Graph so that we can build the most fluid user experiences over the Office 365 groups infrastructure.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, this kind of concludes my this tour of version 1.0 of graph.microsoft.com. This is generally available, so we're looking for, we encourage folks to come build their production GA applications on top of the of Microsoft Graph. But we also have a preview version available under our beta version. And I'm going to show you a little bit about the beta version. So this basically offers everything that's in V1, but also some of our preview features. So in there, you can get access to things like OneNote and to Planner for tasks, as well as some of the calculated insights that we have in Office Graph as well. And I'm going to show you one of those elements here. So let me clear out all this stuff and get back to beta. And I'm going to go to this new entity called people. And when I go here, this is going to show me all the people that are kind of important to me based on calculated insights. So this is the same kind of infrastructure and technology that Delve uses to provide its information on, who are the closest people that you work with. So these may not be people that are close to you in the organization, but based on your interactions and the data that's in Office, we can calculate these insights. But maybe I don't find the person I'm looking for in here for my application, so I'm going to actually search for Dennis because I need to get in touch with him. And here I'm able to search for Dennis. But I want to point out, hey, it came back with Dennis. But Dennis. It's spelt with one N, but I actually searched with two Ns. Well, in this search, it's kind of doing like some fuzzy matching and some, allows for incorrect spelling. So it's able to help me find the people that I really need to find through some smarter search.
It's very cool. And so We got the intelligence to show us who are the people that matter most in the default thing. We've got a great search to let you find the right people, even if you don't know exactly the right details. And then this is also showing kind of a combination of users and contacts kind of together.
That's correct. So it's actually searching over people who are important to me. So this would be users that I work with in my organization, and maybe my own personal contacts, and maybe organizational contacts, and maybe contacts that I have from outside the company that I may have pulled in.
Very cool.
So so anyway, I guess this concludes my whirlwind tour of the of Microsoft Graph. I encourage folks to really play with Graph Explorer to go and explore the API, and go to our landing page on graph.microsoft.com and see all the great documentation and learn about graph.microsoft.com and really integrate those rich people-centric kind of experiences into their applications. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Rolando, who's going to tell you a lot more about the great new add-in features that we've announced at Connect.
That's right. Thank you, Dan. So you just showed us the great and incredible power that you get with all the APIs exposed through the graph. And obviously, since this is REST, you can consume it from your web applications, from your native device applications. And there's a very interesting place where you can also consume these APIs, and that place is Office add-ins. So you can actually build solutions that not only integrate inside Office, but also connect to the graph to bring information. So I want to show you a solution, an add-in for Word that was created by Office at Work, which is a partner of us, and we're working closely with them on this solution. This solution is about corporate document templates. The idea is that you can have a single repository within your enterprise where you have all the branding, all the legal aspects of your documentation, and you expose that directly in Word to all the users. So as a user, I just come to Word and I have at my fingertips all the right branding and all my legal compliance figured out by the add-in in a few clicks. So this is the document wizard add-in from Office at Work. Before I go into the functionality, I just want to call out that this add-in looks great because it's using the Office UI fabric. So you can see how clean the UI is, how nicely fit with the rest of Office UI. So I'm going to jump in and show you what this add-in does. So basically, this add-in allows me to select an organization within my enterprise. If I have different geographies, in this case, I have an office in London, another in Zurich, and I want to send this project proposal to a customer from the headquarters. So I'm going to choose that, and the add-in is going to connect to SharePoint and bring that information from that company and expose it right in my document. So seems it's taking, oh, there we go, sorry. Let me pick that again. Okay, let's do it from London. So London has red branding, that's great. This second field allows me to choose a recipient, so this is connecting to the contacts API and get all the contacts that I have on the graph. And here I can see Lauren is the person that I want to send this document to. And obviously I can also connect to other information from the graph, like my coworkers. So in this case, I'm using the graph to also navigate who is going to be the commercial contact for this particular project. And then in just a few clicks, I completed my template and it's compliant with all the branding and all the legal requirements for this particular geography.
That's now, really awesome. So they're using the graph to build the application in a smarter way. They've got an application that's aware of the contacts in your organization, the people you collaborate with, your colleagues, but then they're also able to bring it inside of Word directly, where people are doing the work, and have it in context and use those APIs to interact with the actual document.
Exactly. So no context switching between you working in Word and websites and trying to figure out where all this stuff is. And as you said, add-ins are all about productivity. And there is a place where add-ins bring productivity to the next level. So let me show you that. I'm going to switch to my iPad here. And I want to show you something new that is available in November from the Office Store. We released a new set of rich APIs for Word that allow you to have deeper integrations, the same deeper integrations you can have on the desktop, you can have them on the iPad now. So here I'm showing another add-in. Add-ins are accessible in Word for iPad through these entry points. So this add-in, similar to the one from Office at Work, allows me to generate documents on the iPad. So on the iPad, I don't have my mouse and keyboard, and obviously I'm not going to be typing a lot of text. But with this add-in, I can actually generate actual documents that I can send to my customers. So for example, I can come here and just with a click on a button, insert a template with a bunch of boilerplate text. I can add more content. I can even grab logos from my logo repository. I can change customer information. I can even bring content from other files and insert it right into this document. So you see, in a couple of clicks, I finished a document that is ready to be sent out right from my device, if I'm on the go, from my iPad to my customer. So I think this is a really great productivity booster. So I really hope to see developers creating these types of solutions that allow people to really leverage the power of these mobile devices.
Very cool. So, and can you tell us a little bit about like the types of skills that you need to build these things? What sort of technology you're building them in? Do you have to write different code for Word and the iPad?
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the value props of the platform is definitely this multi-platform capability. Office is now supported on 9 different platforms. And we created an extensibility story that it's completely web-based, which allows us to reuse the same developer code across Word and the iPad. So an add-in that you create for Word Desktop works just like that on the iPad or on Office Online. And soon we are adding more and more platforms. So you should expect a really powerful support for all the platforms where Office runs to be able to run these add-ins.
Awesome.
So now I'm going to hand it off to Andrew, which has some cool, exciting stuff that we're doing in Outlook.
Cool. Thanks, Rolando. So yeah, this is absolutely fantastic and really, really interesting technology. I want to do a quick demo in Outlook. And this isn't actually something brand new that we announced at Connect, because this, this feature shipped with Office 2016 and Outlook 2016, but it's a fairly new, young feature, so that's why I think it's totally worthwhile to shed some light on it right now. And the feature that we're talking about is this concept of add-in commands. We've evolved from the initial version of the platform to enable developers to build add-ins that can actually declare commands right in the ribbon, right in the command surface that the user is used to. And so here, the example that I want to show you guys is launch Boomerang, or the Boomerang add-in. The benefit of add-in commands, again, is that it enables developers to place buttons and controls right where the users would expect them. So instead of being somewhere else off to the side or behind another screen, they're right there for users to use. And so Boomerang, in case anybody has not used Boomerang before, Boomerang brings a couple of really cool email technologies to really enhance our email flows. One of the really neat features that they do is they'll remind you if somebody hasn't replied to you. So imagine the scenario for a moment. Like, let's say that I am sending Rolando an email, and I know that Rolando gets absolutely inundated with mails. He reads 100 of them a day. But let's say that we're working on something very important and I need to know what the status of the proposal is. So I might type in proposal to Rolando and then say, hey, is it ready yet? Now, if I send out this mail, and I might be forgetful myself, if I send out this mail and it gets buried in Rolando's inbox, chances are he might not respond to it and I might totally forget about it and our proposal just falls through. But with the awesome feature from Boomerang, I can actually just mark it in Boomerang itself to be reminded in 2 days if there is no response to my message. This way, I don't forget about it, and he doesn't forget about it, and the project gets done. And the really cool thing in Boomerang is that, you know, I just click on it once, and I can put the check mark in here, and you saw the little spinner there. Now, that wasn't just some UI. What's going on behind the scenes is that Boomerang's backend is calling into our Office 365 APIs to grab this message that's currently being composed. It figures out its subject, some identification on it, and it sets up a notification. So this way, Boomerang is going to be listening for any updates to this conversation. If an update doesn't happen, then they'll send me a mail. So in those few words, you can immediately tell just how many APIs they're leveraging behind the scenes. But this add-in command feature, it makes it seem so simple, just literally 2 clicks of a button and we're done.
Yeah, so again, it's taking advantage of being right in context where the user's doing work and then calling those service APIs in the back end to be even smarter and to have a more powerful integration with Office.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly. Very cool.
So this is in GA. This is already GA generally available in Outlook in Office 2016. And it's in developer preview for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint right now, this feature of adding commands, to be able to have these buttons, these commands, in the ribbon of Word, Excel, and PowerPoint.
Also, developers now can go and add in commands into the ribbon for Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, too?
Yeah, so isn't that fantastic? So you can actually have all of these cool features all across Office now.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great. All right, so we got a few demos there. You got to see a quick picture of what we're actually building and see some stuff in life. We're going to switch over and do some some demos right now, or switch from some demos to do some question and answer right now. Thanks for showing that stuff, guys. We're going to go to the live Channel 9 questions. We're going to start off with Navreet, who has a question on what the roadmap is for Outlook add-ins. What are the new cool things you guys are building for Outlook?
Yeah, it's a great segue, actually, since we've just been talking about it. So as you may be aware, our philosophy, our vision is that you write the add-in once, and it's got to run everywhere. And when we say everywhere, there are different Outlook clients that users use. You know, we have Outlook Desktop 2016, but many of our users are web users, so they use Outlook Web App, and there's Outlook.com as well. And of course, we have Outlook Mobile, the brand new client that's right now the best mobile client out there, really, for email. And so one of our topmost priorities, and I don't want to forget about Mac Outlook either. So one of our topmost priorities is really getting to that vision of write once, run everywhere. Today you can do commands only in Desktop Outlook 2016, but we're working very hard to make sure that this lights up across all of those clients, and so that you can truly build one add-in, and it's going to service hundreds of millions of users throughout the world on any client that they use. So at a high level, that's really the main thing we're working on. Now, some of those clients, support for those clients is going to come a little sooner. Some is going to come a little later. But besides that, there are also a few tactical things that we're working on, such as some new APIs based on some of the feedback we've heard from our partners. Definitely a lot of prototyping and a lot of new work coming out.
Awesome. So the next question we have is from Domingo, who says, what's next for the Microsoft Graph? We've got the fresh paint on the newly released GA, and people already want to know what's coming
next. That's right. We haven't even got time to breathe, and what's coming next? We have a few ideas. I mean, so you can already see, based on our preview, the kinds of services that we're already integrating into Microsoft Graph, like OneNote and Planner, and the Office Graph. So you can expect to see those become generally available some point in the future. But we're working hard to integrate many other services into the Microsoft Graph. And you know, folks within Microsoft see that value proposition of that one single API for access to Microsoft Cloud services, and they want to join the party.
Yeah.
So we can expect to see a lot more services get behind that unified API. Other areas include, you know, we provide SDKs and samples around different platforms and different languages. I think we'll end up expanding those languages that we have samples and SDKs on, and platforms that we have SDKs on over time.
Right. So we have like .NET and iOS and Android now in preview, and you can go up to graph.microsoft.com and get them. But we're also working on, like, was it Ruby and Python and Node.js and JavaScript, and you know, we'll get those out as soon as we can. We've got walkthroughs for them already, even without the SDKs.
That's correct. So there's lots of effort going on to make sure that we have a well-rounded set of platform and language coverage to provide developers with access to the environments that, you know, suit their applications the best. Some other areas that we're also exploring are, you know, providing better integration around hybrid scenarios. So for some of these applications, they'll want to be able to access, let's say, mailboxes that are not only in the cloud, but also on-premise. So extending the reach of Microsoft Graph so that it can access maybe on-premise mailboxes as well.
Very cool.
So we'll look at how that could happen in the future. And then, again, a developer builds their application once, and it doesn't matter whether the end user is in the cloud or on-premises, the app just works. So it extends the reach of a developer's application built once.
Yeah, that'll be really powerful. Awesome. Cool. So if we go back to the Q&A, we've got another one here on from Geert about, will it be possible to access shared mailbox, shared calendars through the Graph API? So I guess right now, the primary thing you can access is the current user's mailbox.
That's correct. So currently, it's just access to the current user's mailbox. We do have the capability through requesting an application-only token. So this would be a token without any user context to be able to go and look at, let's say, all the mailboxes in an organization. It should really only be used in these kind of like daemon-style services. So a scenario might be if I wanted to archive all the mail from my organization and perform, you know, various different checks on that mail, then I might use an application-only style daemon service
right,
to go and pull all that mail. So this application-only will give you access to those mailboxes, but it is actually something else that we're working on. So allowing a signed-in user to access shared mailboxes and shared calendars, that is something we're working on.
Awesome. And you can today with the API for shared calendars that are a part of a group, for example, you can already
Yes.
get to those. You can already
Totally. So what I demonstrated before with the Office 365 groups, it definitely allows you to get access to the content in those Office 365 groups and the shared calendar and shared mailbox inside of that group. Absolutely. As well as files as well.
There's another related question that we can just cover while we're here. Does the Office Graph integrate with SharePoint 2013 and 2016? I assume that they're talking in particular about SharePoint 2013 and 2016 on-prem. So I guess we just say that, yeah, it's on the roadmap that we want the Microsoft Graph and the APIs from the Office Graph that are there to be able to reach in on-prem. And we
yep.
think when we have more support for hybrid scenarios, we'll be able to do that. But right now, it's limited to online. Is that?
It's limited to online right now. But yeah, that's definitely an area that we want to explore in terms of that hybrid scenario to
awesome.
Access SharePoint on-premise as well.
Very cool. So one of the things I kind of wondered about with the graph you showed when you were going to graph.microsoft.com, you had the documentation there. It's up on GitHub. You know, it seems like we're doing a little bit of a different thing with the documentation for the graph and for some of the Office APIs. Can you guys talk real quick about how we're doing that?
So we're doing something a little bit different this time. We're trying to generate the documentation, or at least the base documentation, directly from the API surface itself. So we have, with a REST API, we have a metadata document that describes the actual API. And so we're able to use that to generate kind of like skeletal documentation around the various different entities and complex types that the API provides, and the various different methods and service actions that the API provides. And from there, we can go further and add additional information to that documentation. We pushed that all into GitHub because we recognize that, you know, there may be things that we may have missed, or maybe we don't go into enough detail on things that the community feels we should have extra information about. So here we give the community an opportunity to go and contribute to our documentation and just, you know, make it better. And so we encourage folks to do that through pull requests. But there's an additional piece here that we're doing in terms of making sure that we can actually validate the documentation against the API so that we're sure that these things are in sync. Because, you know, often with these cloud APIs, we evolve them really quickly and we add new stuff to them and the documentation gets out of date. So this way we hope to keep these two things really in sync. So when you go to the documentation, it really is a reflection of what the API surface is.
So you mean you're actually using the documentation to like test the service?
That is one of the things we're doing. I believe, you know, like the OneDrive team already does an element of this today. So we're embracing those kinds of things as well with the Microsoft Graph and make sure that we have all those automated validation tests in place.
That's really cool. Yeah, I mean, it seems like people have been really excited about the documentation so far. I know that, you know, there was a ton out there when we got there. I know we, you know, spent a lot of late nights tweaking things in GitHub. You can go and see all the history in our pull requests
at
the last minute.
Right.
I think right up to the last minute.
We're actually, yeah, just to add to that, I mean, we're actually not using the documentation only to put it out there and test the service and make sure that our APIs comply with it. We are also going one step further and actually doing what we call, and I think this is really something really cool, this is the first time we're starting to do something like this, which is open specing, which is basically we are putting the specs for the documents and the features that are coming in the future also on those GitHub repositories so that people can actually go there. If you go to the Office Dev account under the Office.js repository that we have over there, you will find a branch that it's about the new wave of APIs that is coming. And then you can see how we're speccing the new set of APIs and provide feedback right there. Just use your GitHub account and give us feedback. So not only you can see and contribute to the current documentation, you can actually influence the future of what we are doing with documentation. So I hope that's going to be an exciting thing for developers too.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, it's really cool for me to see us just be so much more open about the things that we're building, even to the extent we got the spec there in the branch on the documentation repo. You can go and log an issue with if you don't like the design or you don't think we're building the right next set of features. That's really awesome stuff. I think we're seeing it in the Office.js docs repo right now, and then we'll see it in more places, hopefully in the graph and other places soon.
That's right. Yeah, this is something that we think is going to change the way we receive feedback and plan for the future. We definitely want to be more open, and we want to expand these to not only the office.js, but other documentation that we have across extensibility. Yeah,
very cool. Yeah, the docs have been actually a pretty good highlight. We've seen a lot of feedback from the community already in just the last couple of days about a lot of excitement over the documentation and the ability to go in and fix stuff and influence the docs and add to it. And we definitely want to encourage everybody to do it. We want to make sure that we have the best docs we possibly can. So it's really cool. It's very cool to see a lot of energy around there. So, Rolando, there's a question here about Office UI Fabric and whether there's a plan to develop component adapters for frameworks like Angular and Knockout, they call it here, like in WinJS. Are we working on that kind of thing?
Oh, that's a great question. Yes, we are planning to make Fabric available and integrated with different frameworks. I just want to say that Fabric is open source, which is really cool. So, people can just go and start creating components for their favorite frameworks. In fact, we have a couple of community projects that are already doing this. So there's an Angular Fabric implementation from one of our MVPs that it's already linked from the Fabric site. So if you want to integrate with Angular, it is there and you can contribute to it. It's all open source. We definitely are thinking about how do we embrace more and more frameworks and how do we interact with the community. So this is definitely something that we are thinking about it because we know frameworks make your lives easier, and we want to make sure that Fabric is as easy to use as your favorite framework.
Awesome. I'm sensing a trend here. Everything is up on GitHub.
Everything is open. Everything is on GitHub.
GitHub.com/officedev. That's the place to go to check it out.
Yes.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
And we've got the graph documentation. We've got the Office.js documentation, Fabric. We've got the SDKs for the graph are there too, right?
Like the SDKs for iOS and Android. We're hoping to have the .NET ones soon once they come out of preview.
Awesome.
We have patterns and practices. We have samples. Yeah, there's a lot of content over there. So
people got to check that out too.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Very cool. So there's a question, Dan, about whether we can access the SharePoint list using the unified API right now. And if not, when is this support coming?
The magic question. When is it coming? So unfortunately, it's not available right now through the unified API. This is something, again, that we're looking at. And I think a general point here is that there are a few gaps between the Microsoft Graph unified API and the functionality that it exposes and the functionality that's exposed by some of our other standalone APIs. We'll be working hard to make sure that we close that gap as quickly as we can to make sure that folks really see the value in Microsoft Graph and go there for all their API needs, especially when coming to Office and Azure Active Directory, as well as other services.
Yeah, and SharePoint list is one that I've heard a lot from the community about.
Like, yeah, so
one of the first ones.
It's pretty high up on the list, I would imagine.
Yeah. A lot of people building custom applications on it, want to use the Graph, want to stick with the single unified story we have for the APIs.
That's correct. That's
awesome.
Correct.
Awesome. So I guess for Andrew and Rolando, Clifford says, I already have a web application built on a non-Microsoft stack. Can it connect to an Office add-in?
This is a great question, and I think you said it. It's all about openness now from the new Office extensibility. So absolutely, one of the things that we wanted to enable with this new framework is that you can create Office add-ins with any web technology. It doesn't need to be Microsoft stack. Obviously, you can use Azure and Visual Studio for your tooling, but if you have some other stack using a Mac to develop or even something different on the server or for your hosting environment, you can definitely leverage all those investments to integrate with Office. At the end, it's just a web application that it's inside Office running in a browser context. So you can do pretty much everything you could do for a regular web application.
Very cool. So that answers another question on the list, which is what types of tools and skills do I need to develop an Office add-in? So it really is just that HTML and JavaScript. You can use whatever sort of back-end framework you'd like on the server side. It's just, hey, if you're a web developer, you can do it.
Exactly. Yeah, internally within the team, we have this theme, which is about bring your own tools, which basically speaks about this, right? It's really like if you already have a tool set and you are really productive and really like it, you don't need to switch to something else to start developing for Office. Keep using your tool set, and we will make sure that our infrastructure and our tooling supports whatever tooling set that you're using already.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good point. And I think that we've been investing in building our own awesome tools for this as well, is in that you know, we've had some really great experiences in Visual Studio and then a web tool version of that. But more recently, like as you said, you know, about being more open, whatever the new technology is that everybody, that all the developers are excited about and are using, we'll leverage that. And so I think the Yeoman generator in Office is a great example of that, where we built a Yeoman generator that provides all the scaffolding you need to just get going with your sample very, very quickly and easily. And you don't need to install any client. You don't have to be on Windows. You don't need to buy any license. You just get you just download the tools that you need. It's a quick download and then run a command line and you're good to go.
Yeah. That's a great point.
Now, that said, I want to mention that we're working closely with the Visual Studio team to make sure that Visual Studio is the best experience for tooling. So if you don't have a tool set or you're already in Visual Studio, just keep an eye on the new features that are coming out in the next few months for development of Office add-ins.
I see, you know, the Yeoman generator is a great example. I see all over the place. I see more and more both tools and documentation and walkthroughs for all platforms across everything. Like on the Graph site, there's a walkthrough, of course, for ASP.NET. There's a walkthrough for Universal Windows, but there's also stuff for Ruby and Python and PHP and, you know, whatever platform you're on. We want you to build stuff that uses the Microsoft Graph and that plugs into Office.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Awesome. So Tyler has a question. He says, "How can more people find my apps if they're using the Microsoft Graph or the Office APIs?" So I guess he's talking about kind of the discoverability. If I build an app and it takes advantage of the Microsoft Graph or it takes advantage of the Office 365 APIs, are there places for people to go find it?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is definitely an area where we are focusing a lot. We want to make sure that if you take the time and effort to develop an add-in for Office or an application for Office 365, that it's really for users, really easy for users to find it. So we have the store, and obviously users can go to the store. But we want to take that to the next level and not only just have the store available there. We are starting to think about how do we embed the discoverability of these add-ins more contextually within the experiences. So for example, if I'm in Word and I want to insert a picture and I go to the insert picture provider dialogue where I can see being online, can we start showcasing apps in those experiences so that if your app is about inserting pictures in the document, can they find it there? And then similar in Office 365, we want to find the right flows and the right context so that we can start making use of the relevance knowledge that we have from your content so that we can surface those apps. So this is definitely an area to keep an eye. I will definitely be investing more on this.
Awesome. And then for any app that integrates, any web app that integrates with the Microsoft Graph or integrates with the Office 365 APIs, they're part of the Office 365 experience already, right?
That's right. Yeah, I mean, in Office 365, you can create a web application that integrates directly into our interface. We have an icon that we call the launcher. Basically, that's where you launch all the out-of-the-box applications. But you can also create third-party applications that put a tile in that experience, and the user can pin it and have favorites there so that they are really quickly accessible and discoverable from a day-to-day use perspective.
Awesome.
And that app tile shows up on that My Apps experience, whether the user, you know, acquired that app themselves and consented to that app themselves, or maybe their administrator assigned that application to them, and now that tile appears, and it's a one-stop shop to go find all the apps that you have or were assigned to you, and you can, you know, click and access those apps and get a single sign-on experience.
We've even got a tile there now for the Office Store. So if you've got got an app, if you have a web app that integrates with the Office 365 APIs that does single sign-on with Office, you can get listed in the Office Store there so that more and more users can discover that integration directly from within Office 365.
That's right. And also in the Azure App Gallery as well. So there are multiple places where you can go put your app for greater discoverability.
Get eyeballs on that.
That's right. That's what it's all about.
Very cool. So actually, this one's for Andrew. So Freddie asked, what's the recommended way to handle SSO for Outlook add-in? So we actually saw both Rolando's add-in was calling into the graph using that signed-in user, Boomerang's calling back into service APIs on behalf of the user. What's the right way to go and build that inside of Outlook so that you can take advantage of the service APIs?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's actually a very common question that we hear very frequently is like, what is the best way to handle authentication? Traditionally, no matter what app you're building or service you're building, authentication is like the number one thing that you really have to think through because it's all about user security and privacy. And with Outlook add-ins, we provide this unique API to really make it super simple and easy for users to have a great experience in the sense that whether I'm using Outlook Desktop or I'm in Outlook Web or I'm on Mac Outlook or any other Outlook client that supports the platform, each of those clients will provide a unique user identifying token. And this token can be used by the developer to look at an identifier inside of that token and sign the user in. And we actually have great samples both in GitHub, the location that you mentioned, and in our documentation that really walks through that flow end to end and really explains everything. But at a high level, the gist of it is that developers can ask for this user identifying token and ask the user to log into their service. And once the user has logged into their service, they can now map this token to that user's identity. And from now on, anytime that add-in is run, no matter what Outlook client it's run in, they'll always get the same identifier. And so they can immediately log the user in. So that's why if you saw me launch Boomerang in Outlook Web App or my Outlook.com account, you wouldn't see me be prompted to log in except for that very first time.
And those seem like some of the most powerful add-ins are those that are not only sort of within the experience of Outlook or Word or PowerPoint, but also call into the service APIs to have that extra capability that you can get when you have that that smarter connection, the information from services, and that sort of disconnected thing that Boomerang is doing, where they're able to continue to ping and get notifications on your service and do work for you even when you're not signed into your computer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Awesome. Very cool. So it says, So I think this is another kind of Outlook add-in question. Jarvis says, what's the best way to get started building an Outlook add-in?
Yeah, so the best way is just to get your hands dirty and jump in and get going. I think we've been talking about Office Dev all the time. And so again, going to the GitHub location, pulling down some samples is a really good way to get going. Obviously, we have dev.office.com where you can get all of the information and documentation about building add-ins. And if you're specifically looking at some Outlook-specific aspects, you want to get to straight to the concept topics and really be focused on Outlook, or you're developing Outlook.com and you're really focused on that, we actually have that same set of documentation, but just organized closely together in dev.outlook.com. with a number of articles that are very focused on Outlook development and a number of getting started experiences and walkthroughs of what you can do to get going. So for any Outlook developer out there that are just really interested, like, hey, how do I get the specific information about Outlook? You can also head over to dev.outlook.com and get that answer as well.
Awesome. So thanks very much for taking the time, guys. I think we're about out of time. Just as a quick recap, there's a ton of new stuff across all the APIs that we're exposing in Office 365 and the Microsoft Graph. A ton of new stuff coming for add-ins for Office. Check it all out on graph.microsoft.com and dev.office.com to go get started, to go get a dev account, go make some calls, go check out the documentation. And tell us about all the cool things you're going building and give us feedback on it in dev.office.com and on our GitHub repos. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.